to another award-winning episode of Truth Is Now Treason, and I'm Lennox.
I'm Dietrich.
Hey, we've been looking at the immense amount of lies that is happening in our nation right now in this series called You Can't Handle It. And we have covered how there are so many in positions of leadership who are lying about everything and how it has been detrimental to our country. We've even covered how there were instances of where these lies were resulting in murder. And if you haven't listened to episode 3, so You Can't Handle It, it's on that episode. This is the exact same accusation that God hurls at Judah in Isaiah 59, and we've been comparing United States with Judah. And he tells them that they are guilty of murder and lies.
So in order to look at whether or not the United States is like Judah, we need to look at the history of Judah that was happening during Isaiah 59. What exactly was going on with the nation of Judah? So if God calls these people out for their wickedness, then how bad was it? What exactly were they doing? Now, biblical historians admit that they are not 100% sure who was the king at this time in the history of Judah, but they are pretty certain it was either Manasseh or Amon. So we're going to look at both of these kings and see what was happening in Judah to make them so wicked. We will start with Amon because his story is pretty simple. Amon is actually the son of Manasseh. He was a wicked king, just like Manasseh, his father. But if you look at the line of kings in Judah, they by and large were all pretty bad. Basically, they were wicked. There was one exception, that was Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh and therefore the grandfather of Amon. He was the one good king Judah had. The rest of them were pretty much bad, and Amon was no exception to this. Now, if you want to read the entire story of Amon, it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 33.
So in this passage of scripture, this is what it says about Amon. He was 22 years old when he became king. So that is a huge responsibility for a 22-year-old. And his kingship was very short. It was only 2 years. It also says in this passage that he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as his father Manasseh had done. He worshipped and sacrificed to all the idols his father had made. In other words, he was following his father's poor example and doing the opposite of what God commanded. It wasn't just him doing this. He was leading the entire nation of Judah to do the same. Amon was so wicked that his own officials, the people who worked for him, conspired against him and assassinated him right in his palace. But the people of the land killed all those who had conspired against King Amon. So they basically were defending this wicked man because they too were wicked. And then afterward, Amon's son Josiah became the next king. So Amon was an evil king, and we read that he worshipped and he sacrificed to all the idols his father had made. So these were false gods.
So what does that mean? We see in 2 Kings 21 what Manasseh did, and it gives a list of the gods that Manasseh worshipped. This is what it says. It says he constructed altars for Baal and set up an Asherah pole, just as King Ahab of Israel had done. He was considered the most wicked king in Israel. Now you may say, all right, Dietrich, I have no idea what you're talking about with Baal and Asherah. Give us a bit. We're going to describe in depth what was going on there. So he bowed before all the powers of heavens and worshiped them. He built pagan altars in the temple of the Lord. So in other words, he took the temple that was dedicated for God, the one true God, and he put things in them to worship false gods. He set up altars for the powers of heaven in both the courtyards of the Lord temple. Now, God had forbid Judah to worship these false gods that the other nations served. He wanted to have total allegiance so that the other nations would see that he was the one true God. But Manasseh was using the place, the temple that was built to give honor to God, and he was using it to worship false gods. Manasseh also sacrificed his own son in the fire. He practiced sorcery and divination. He consulted with mediums and psychics, and he did a lot that was evil in God's sight, arousing God's anger. Manasseh even made a carved image of Asherah and set it up in the temple. Manasseh led them to do more evil than the pagan nations that the Lord had destroyed when the people of Israel first entered this land where they now lived. In other words, Judah got so bad, they were more wicked than the people God kicked out so that they could have a new land. Now, according to the Bible, Manasseh reestablished local shrines. He dedicated these to pagan worship only. He restored a polytheistic worship. So they were supposed to be monotheistic. In other words, they just worship God, the one true God. But Manasseh was worshiping all kinds of gods. Two of them were Baal, who was a male god, and Asherah. Now, Asherah was considered the mother and the mistress of Baal. So we've obviously got some family issues here with these guys. When it came to the worship of these gods, this was where ritual sex things would go on in God's temple.
Yeah, they believed that the sexual union of Baal and Asherah produced fertility. And so they, the worshipers of these gods, would engage in immoral sex so that way these gods would join together and ensure good harvest. This was the practice that became like religious prostitution. That's what was going on in these temples. And then the priest even, or it could be a male member of the community, represented Baal. And then they had a priestess or a female member of the community that represented Asherah. And so they would have sex right there in the temple. And it was so bad that they took God's gift of sexuality and perverted it to the most obscene public prostitution. They were having orgies right here in the temple that's supposed to be for God. No wonder God's anger burned against his people and their leaders.
And a third kind of polytheistic worship they had was the Assyrian astral cult. It was their version of astrology. Now, in this Book of Kings, it states that Manasseh was so zealous in his worship of foreign gods that he was said to have participated in the sacrificial cult of Molech, which basically meant they were sacrificing young children or passing them through the fire. They would burn young children alive. His reign was to be described as a reaction in relation to his father's righteous reign. The Book of Kings suggests that he may have executed supporters of his father's reforms. In other words, he killed people who were righteous. He wanted to take everything that his father was doing that was good. He wanted to turn it to evil.
For example, like Isaiah. Isaiah was considered a prophet by God. He was a righteous person that was used by God to either give these leaders instruction or promises from God or to warn wicked leaders like this King Manasseh of God's punishment if they didn't listen to God's guidance. And Manasseh was the kind of king that if Isaiah lived at all during his reign, Manasseh would have wanted to kill him, because in 2 Kings chapter 21, it says that Manasseh shed innocent blood until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Now, that's a lot of killing. And this is verified, by the way, through secular historians to be true as well. This king was evil, and he was so evil that he rebuilt the high places and the altars of idolatry, which his father, Hezekiah, remember the righteous king, had destroyed previously, but he now has sought to restore them, these abominations, these things that were detestable in God's eyes. And he sought to restore these abominations, the things that existed in the time of the most wicked king, who was Ahab, like Dietrich said. Most likely, if Isaiah was around at this time, he would have sought to prevent this, which means he would have reprimanded Manasseh. And it was certain that such an effort would make Manasseh angry. Because when you're doing wicked things, you don't want to hear anyone tell you how wrong you are. You want to get rid of that person. And most Jewish historians believe that Isaiah was put to death by Manasseh by being sawn in half. This is a similar example of what we talked about in episode 7 in the series, when we mentioned the reasons why those on the left constantly accuse our founding of being racist, when it clearly is not, but it's an attempt to get rid of something that reminds them of God, which happens to be our Christian founding. Because America succeeded and became a great nation for one reason and one reason alone. It was because of Judeo-Christian values. And so wicked people in our nation, no different than Manasseh, are trying to rid itself of anything that is of God, which is our Christian founding. Killing it and replacing it with 1619 Project or the critical race theory. This is another way our country's condition is no different than Judah in this time period.
So how else is the United States reflected in this? You know, there's many out there who, if you dare to stand for anything that's true, they want to demolish you. If you're going to stand for anything righteous, you must be destroyed. If you're reflecting values that are based on God's word, we got to do away with you. You know, this is seen all over our nation. And there's not just one instance. They are all over the place. How did one nation under God become a nation seeking to undermine God? We are a nation that's turned our collective's back on God. We have rid ourselves of God. And when we turn our back on God, we have turned our back on the truth, and we have God's condemnation attached to us. The truth becomes an enemy that must be destroyed when a group of people refuse to acknowledge the one true God.
We are no different than Judah under Manasseh's leadership, where we worship anything but him. We worship a version of perfection. You know, it could be external beauty. We may worship pleasure. We may worship what we want when we want it. We are a nation of narcissists. We worship ourselves. You must see me as I see me. You must address me as I want to be addressed. The world must revolve around me. God is out of the equation, and a God who has standards that he thinks I must adhere to must be demolished. This is the shape we're in as a nation, and this is why everything's based on lies. This is why life has no meaning. Matter of fact, this is a side note, but we will be covering someone in our next series who is actually teaching that life has no meaning, that we just exist. And as usual, this person also believes in evolution and is an atheist. I want to point out, though, that when you believe in no God, then your life doesn't have any purpose. You do just exist. But I also want to tell our listeners that this is the lie that Satan offers, not God. You don't have to believe this. God does offer meaning. However, this is the road we are on in our country, and unless something changes, it will only get worse.
Yeah, if you believe that we're not like Judah, I want you to keep this in mind. What was an Asherah pole? It was a stylized tree or a pole that was used as a phallic symbol. And if you don't know what that means, basically it was shaped like a penis.
Oh dear, my virgin ears. Did you just say that P word, that ugly P word? Sorry, traitors. DJ loves to say that word.
She was considered to be the mother of 70 gods, including Baal. She was a fertility goddess. Now, there's two reasons why she was worshipped while being a fertility goddess. You know, in those days, what were kids? They were money, because kids meant workers in the field. Also, there's the aspect of sex due to her being a fertility goddess. Has there ever been a time in America where we have worshipped money and sex more than we do today? You know, what is ironic is we are a nation that spends billions of dollars on pornography every year. Indeed, a sign that we worship sex and we are a nation that is diseased.
And who was the god Molech? I mean, it was mentioned that Manasseh made his son pass through the fire in regards to Molech. And Dietrich kind of hit on this earlier. This meant that he killed his son as a sacrifice to this god. Why? As a way to appease Molech so that he would prosper. The Bible calls this practice detestable, which of course it is. Anytime a parent kills his or her child, it's despicable. But to do it so you as the parent can benefit, wow, it is detestable. The Bible's right. And if you are thinking, there's no way we do this today, or how do we do this today? You know, you might not be making that connection yet. Then what did we just discuss in our previous episode regarding Planned Parenthood? Isn't abortion a modern version of this? Think about this. Why do women have abortions? The overwhelming reason is because to have a child at that time in their life would be something that would prevent them from doing what they want, or because they cannot afford it, or it interferes with their career goals. Is this really that different? You're sacrificing a child for convenience, or you're sacrificing a child because you think it's going to benefit you. It's all for the same reason. I am killing because it benefits me, or it will help me to prosper. And remember, what did God accuse Judah of? Murder and lies. And if you are listening and you have had an abortion, we challenge you to seek help from a pastor or from someone who can help you heal through the guilt and shame that you might be suffering. Because I know firsthand from counseling young women, the guilt they have shared with me behind closed doors. They don't say it in public, but they say it behind closed doors. How they struggle with their decision, that decision. That decision's unbearable for them, and they seem to not be able to get past it. We want to kind of like help you, or we want you to reach out to somebody who can guide you in the right direction. Contact us through our email, truthisnowtreason@gmail.com, or you can just message us on Facebook, and we'll be glad to kind of help you, direct you to a person who I know will direct you in the right area.
You know, whether we want to admit it or not, we have tons in common with Judah. There is good news. Manasseh was a man who had experienced a change for the better. He went from being one thing to becoming something quite completely different. According to 2 Chronicles chapter 33, Manasseh was on one occasion brought in chains to the Assyrian king, probably because he was suspected of being disloyal. Now, this verse goes on to indicate that he was later treated well and restored to his throne. Manasseh was in such dire straits he had no idea where to turn. So he turned to God. He turned from the false idols. He demolished all the temples of the false gods in Judah. He then implored the people of Judah to worship the one true God. This is an amazing example where we see a life turned from destruction to God. Manasseh's sin separated him from God. Manasseh then turned from his sin to God. This is the answer, traitors. This is something I would love to see happen here in the United States. I would love to see our nation see what it has become and turn to God. We are separated from God. There's no doubt about it. We are separated because of our sin.
Sin does not separate us from the love of God. God loves us no matter who we are. That's a guarantee, and it's stated in Romans 5:8. But sin still does separate. Notice it wasn't until Manasseh called on God, turned away from his previous sinful behavior, that God restored his life. Sin separates us also from the blessings of God, because at the point of our sin, we are not trusting God and relying on him. We're trusting and worshiping ourselves. And God isn't going to bless someone who is disobeying him. Do you reward your children when they have been bad? Of course not. The same way with God. Sin also separates us from the benefits of God's love. Even as the prodigal son, you know, the son who asked for his inheritance and took off and squandered it. He was still loved by his father, but he didn't enjoy the benefits of his love when he was sinning.
Sin also separates us from the protection of God, because he will allow trials to come our way and correct us, just like he did with Manasseh. You know, look how easy it is for us to blame our problems on everything except for our sin. We will even blame God before seeing that the problem is us. We will deny who God is before seeing that we are the problem. You know, this explains why God's people no longer felt the face of the Lord shining on them. It was their sin that prevented this, not the inability of God to hear or his lack of interest in hearing. You know, we have a lot of people in this nation right now that are looking at what's going on and they are thinking, how in the world is this going to end well? And we hope that this is going to end well. We want to see it end well, but it's not looking good right now. When we have 70% of our nation living paycheck to paycheck, and we have inflation going at such a rate that people are wondering how they are going to be able to get to next week, it's detrimental, especially for a nation that worships money. And so we may be wondering, how in the world are we going to get through this? I want you to think about this. No matter whether you're a believer or not, I want you to challenge you to do something. I want you to ask God to show you whether or not you have idols set up in your life. Do you have things that are causing you to be blind to the truth? Do you have things that are keeping you from understanding and knowing the Word of God? Do you have things in your life that are keeping you from wanting to read the Word of God because you know it's building a wall between you and God? That means you have sin that needs to be confessed. This sin is preventing you from enjoying your life. This sin is preventing you from having a life where you can trust the one true God and say, hey, you know what, God, no matter what is happening, I know you will take care of me. I do not have to worry because you are more powerful than anything this world can throw at me. So I want to challenge you to do that. Take time today. Talk to God. Do it right after this episode. Ask God, what is in the way between you and me?
Until next time, my fellow traders. We'll be right back.